Hare Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahavriyam Karavavahai Tejasvinavadi Tamastuma Vidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Okay, page 44 Part 2, Abhideya. Topic 4, the means of attaining Brahman. Topic 4, and that is, topics are nature of Brahman. Okay, Abhideya, nature of attaining Brahman. Okay. Topic 4, chapter 4, Prakara Individual Souls. So this is mantras 1 through 3, 9, 11, 15 through 18, right? So there's a lot more stated on Abhideya in the Ishopanishad. Everything animate or inanimate that is within the universe is controlled and owned by the Lord. One should therefore accept only those things necessary for himself, which is set aside as his quota. And one should not accept other things, knowing well to whom they belong. One may aspire to live for hundreds of years if he continually goes on working in that way. For that sort of work will not bind him in the law of karma. There is no alternative for this way for man. Mantras 1 and 2. So if we notice here, because the opening appears that it's just establishing, you know, we've used the same verses to establish the Lord's position, right? As he's the source of all everything, right? He's the supreme absolute. So here it mentions, if he continues, goes on working in that way, means with that understanding, right? Because working and knowledge go together. It means you have sambandha when you get to Abhideya. Then it's not that Abhideya sambandha finishes. You know, like the example given this morning. You have milk, but then when you cook it, it turns into kheer. You don't have milk, right? And if you keep cooking the kheer, it'll turn into koa. You don't have kheer or milk, right? So the idea being is that here it's saying in that way. So you've established the knowledge, and then you have the application of that knowledge. So applying it, that's Abhideya. But it doesn't mean that there's no knowledge. Right? It means sambandha jnana, applying the sambandha jnana, is Abhideya. Right? Getting the result from applying sambandha jnana is prayojana. Right? Srila Prabhupada writes in his purport to the invocation mantra, the completeness of human life can be realized only when one engages in the service of the complete whole. Right? So if you become whole when you're connected to the complete whole. Our life feels incomplete because we're not connected to the complete. Right? So it's not that there's some other way. We can say, oh, this is just, you know, a religionist to say that. No, it's just that's the way it is. The absolute truth, if you're connected to the absolute, then you come on that same absolute platform. And if you're not, you won't. Simple. Right? All services in this world, whether social, political, communal, international, or even interplanetary, will remain incomplete until they are dovetailed with the complete whole. When everything is dovetailed with the complete whole, the attached parts and parcels also become complete in themselves. Right? Means you have a nut. Well, let's see. You could have many definitions of what this nut is. So it means nut meaning as in an insane person, a nut as in a cashew, or a nut as in a bolt, right? So if that nut was on a machine before, right, and it falls off, even though it's still a nut, it's not complete, right? So when the nut is put back on the machine, it's still doing the same function, but now it's complete because it's part of the whole, right? Or you have an insane asylum, right? And if one of the inmates escapes, then he's not complete in himself, right? They don't have a one-man insane asylum, right? So when you take him and put him back in there, then he becomes complete.
He fits in.
Right? I'm not sure what we'd use for an example for the nut.
Something with squirrels.
Oh, okay. So you have the squirrel and you have the nut. So if the nut falls out of the squirrel's hand, right, and he spends the next 3 million years trying to catch that again, then, then he's not complete. When the nut is back in his hands and he has control of it, right? It's not being stolen by other squirrels, and it's not frozen in a block of ice, then it's complete. Okay, so do all the nuts come together here? Okay. Yeah, so that's the point. Attached parts and parcels, then you become complete. When you're detached, then you're not. So here, that's the point, is attached isn't our problem. It's when we say we're detached from attached to the material energy. Mm-hmm. You know, we detach from the material energy, we're attached to Krishna. There's no such thing as being detached and not attached to anything. That's the Brahma, the Mayavadi's concept, but it doesn't exist. It's an illusion. That's why we say even their philosophy is Maya, right? They take it Mayavad in that they say the world is Maya, therefore Mayavadis. We say Mayavad because their whole philosophy is an illusion. Therefore, the Vadis who are in Maya, right? So, same word, slightly different perspective. Right? Okay. In the purport to Mantra 2, it is stated, the instructions of Sri Ashupanishad are more elaborately explained in the Bhagavad Gita, sometimes called the Gita Upanishad, the cream of all the Upanishads, right? Because you get... it's brought out and showed how to apply it. Because here it just says if you go on working in that way, but it doesn't explain that. But that's what's explained in Gita. How to work in that way. How to work in Krishna consciousness. Right? Yes.
So there's a lot written on Abhideya in Sri Upanishad.
Yes.
But the Abhideya part of Gita is the last chapters that show us how it works.
Same time as you. It means, see, it, because the Gita is showing the situation and then the application. Mm-hmm. Because you're understanding the nature of the soul, then you are seeing how he works. You know, what is the soul? What is Dharma? How he works within all that? How his intelligence? How to work with that? So as soon as the definition is given, then we see that there is an application. The last chapters are simply your finer details, analytical within your application, because you're analyzing application, right? Buddhi yoga. Mm. So karma, jnana, and dhyana, how that combines. But to combine it, you have to know what the three are, so you have to study each one individually. That's why there's a chapter on each, right? So you take karma, a chapter, jnana, karma, then combining jnana and karma. Right? Then you bring in dhyana and then how that fits in. Right? Then you get into explaining the Lord very nicely. Right? Because here when you bring in the Lord, then we're bringing the Lord from devotion. Because here we're not... the Gita is not meant that you should come up with an impersonal... to facilitate an impersonal understanding. The Gita is not meant for that. It's used, but it's actually, it can be used because it's Upanishad. But it's not meant for that. The Upanishad is not meant for that, but the language is such that makes it a little bit more open. Right? That's what's the thing. So there it's very direct. Because here it just says this, but then Krishna there says, you know, I'm the basis of Brahman, and you know, this is my opinion. Devotional service is the highest. All these different things. In the Bhagavad Gita 3:9 through 16, the Personality of Godhead says that one cannot attain the state of Naishkarmya, or akarma, without executing the prescribed duties mentioned in the Vedic literature. Right? So, unless you're performing those duties. Now, of course, as we discussed earlier, is that varnashram means the understanding the principle of duty and applying it in the situation. Right? Because when Manu defines the duties, he's defining them in their natural situation. Right? But you have the element that if things don't go normally, then there's also a chapter of what you can do if the situation is not normal. But it's still according to Shastra. Right? So taking the principle and applying it to the time, place, and circumstance, that's Vedic. Not taking the principle and trying to be practical in time, place, and circumstance, that's modern. Right? And not taking the principle and trying to stick with the example, right, or the form and its ideal, and not seeing the time, place, and circumstance, and not seeing the principle, that's also, it has it's Vedic in sentiment that you want to do, but it still misses the point that it does not address the practical application of the principle to the situation. Understand? That's actually Vedic. Vedic is that. But we take that Vedic's a particular form, a particular situation, you know, a particular ritual. Does that make sense? No, those are those are your better options for rituals and form. Right? Mantras, you know. You know, instead of, you know, you have, you know, how you say, you know, idam bhojaniyam, you know, or something, or, you know, dear Lord, please accept this. You could come in and say, well, here's some stuff we threw together, and if you're hungry, you eat it, and if you're not, then, you know, hey, you know, we're cool, you know. Yeah, and you're a big boy now, you can figure out how to eat and all that, you know, here's the stuff. If you need anything, give a call, you know. You know what I'm saying? So there's more devotional ways to approach it. Therefore, we don't make it up. The acharyas, they've made the prayers and they've made the methods of doing that. You see that what you're doing doesn't get in the way of the actual position and mood of the relationship. Does that make sense? So that's what one's trying to do. Okay? So therefore, it's the cream of all the Upanishads. All the principles in the Upanishads are in the Gita. Right? So that's why I ask, the Gita is the main study, and the Upanishad is the supportive. The Nectar Devotion is the main, Upadeshamrita is the supportive. You know, it's like giving an essence. Right? Right. So Naishkarmya can only be attained if you're following the Vedic rules, principles, because then it's actually for someone else. But if you don't follow the rules, how do you know it's for Krishna? How is it Naishkarmya? Because you're doing what you want to do, how you want to do it. How is that Naishkarmya?
Just asking to go to the kitchen and make himself a snack instead of serving the form.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm just saying that if we don't perform the rituals or do it like in a proper way, then how is it Naishkarmya? So that would be the equivalent of having a guest and then asking them to just go to the kitchen.
Get it themselves.
Yeah,
it means the house is yours, do what you want. Yeah, but you know, I've seen that.
Yeah.
Someone walked in and they're sitting down at the television eating something and they say, yeah, you know, it's in the fridge, you know, and just keep walking. And the guy, oh, cool. You know, he goes and gets what he wants, comes out, sits down also. And somehow or another they think it's really cultured, you know. Yeah, it's so nice. He said, I could get whatever I want from the fridge.
This house is yours.
Yes, this house is yours. Like that. Though he did give me a funny look when I came out with a pot roast, but maybe he just meant beer. Yeah. This, so when you say prescribed duties, we mean the principle. And if you can follow the forms that they recommend, that's very nice. That would be your best option. But the point is that when it says executing the prescribed duties means the principles that the prescribed duties of the Vedic literatures are prescribing. This literature can regulate the working energy of a human being in such a way that he can gradually realize the authority of the Supreme Being, because the Supreme Being is in everything within the Vedic literature. There's not a verse in the Vedic literature that's not describing the Supreme Lord. Maybe because of common usage of language, we don't see it. But that's what it's still defining. You know what I'm saying? We get so caught up in the external of the word that we forget that there are deeper meanings or something. You know? Or when it's being esoteric, no, we want the gross. You know, that's always the problem. Right. Yeah. When he realizes the authority of the personality of Godhead, Vasudeva, or Krishna, it is to be understood that he has attained the stage of positive knowledge. Right? Because before that, it's just negative knowledge. We're not the soul, we're not the body, you know, all these things aren't the supreme, so it's all negative knowledge. In this purified state, the modes of nature, namely goodness, passion, ignorance, cannot act. Right? Because it's pure goodness, so how will they act? And he is able to work on the basis of naishkarmya. Such work does not bind one to the cycle of birth and death, because it's the modes. Time and the modes creates karma. Right? So we're still talking about time is there, but no modes, because you're not going to get rid of time, as Bhaktivinoda Thakura explained, because time is what connects the living entity with the external manifestation. Right? Because it's through time that things transform. So an activity means there's transformation. The material energy transforms. Right? So it's through time that does. So you don't have to get rid of time. You have to get rid of the modes. Yes?
Does that mean that even in the state of Vasudeva Sattva, there's an amount of time?
You're working with time here. Your consciousness is on that level. Okay. So you're beyond time, but it doesn't mean the activity itself and it's the resultant transformation of the material energy is not being performed by time. Because otherwise, in the material energy, technically, there isn't time. It means it's coming from Krishna, it's Krishna's potency. Right? And so because of that, then there's transformation. Otherwise, without time, the material energy would be a homogeneous mass of elements. I mean, of atoms, not, you know. In a sense, so that's the difference between Praman and Mahat, right? Because the Mahatattva means now they've separated, right? So before it was homogeneous, now earth is here, water is here, fire is here, like this. Right? So naishkarmya, because the Shastra is defining everything should be done for the Lord, so acting on that, then one can perform naishkarmya. Otherwise, then there won't be naishkarmya. Factually, no one has to do anything more than render devotional service to the Lord. However, in the lower stages of life, one cannot immediately adopt the activities of devotional service. Nor can one completely stop fruit of work. A conditioned soul is accustomed to working for sense gratification, for his own selfish interest, immediate or extended, right? Because he wants to make it very clear that when you're doing nice work for other people, if Krishna's not involved, it's still, this ordinary work. Still fruit of work. Self-interest, immediate or extended. So extended is still self-interest. An ordinary man works for his own sense enjoyment. And when this principle of sense enjoyment is extended to include his society, nation, or humanity in general, it assumes various attractive names such as altruism, socialism, communism, nationalism, and humanitarianism. As he uses attractive names. Yeah. Right? Because that's all. He just put these nice names that sound so great. Yeah. These isms are certainly very attractive forms of karma bandhana, karmic bondage. But the Vedic instruction of Sri Upanishad is that one actually wants to live for any of the above isms. He should make them God-centered. There's no harm in becoming a family man, or an altruist, a socialist, a communist, a nationalist, or a humanitarian, providing that one executes his activities in relation with Ishavasya. Right? The God-centered conception. How one can execute God-centered activities is elaborately explained in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu by Srila Rupa Goswami. We have rendered this book into English as The Nectar of Devotion. We recommend this valuable book to all who are interested in performing their activities in the spirit of Sri Upanishad. Right? So Upanishad is saying it should be done. Nectar of Devotion is giving the detail. Right? The Bhagavad Gita is giving all the technical philosophy behind it. Right? And so then this combination, you can see, it's a very, very strong combination. Right? And Upadeshamrita is giving the essential points of Nectar of Devotion. Right? A simplified form so that one could... Because you always have, much of the time you have the main Shastra, which is very exhaustive, and then you have a summary of it, right? And so that's very common. So Upadeshamrita is the summary study. Does that make sense? Right. Okay, so interesting to note here. Factually, no one has to do anything more than render devotional service to the Lord, right? However, in the lower stages of life, one cannot immediately adopt the activities of devotional service, nor can one completely stop fruit of work. Right? So here then they're saying to connect these things to Krishna. Once they're connected, then it's fine. But here when he says devotional service, we can get from the context that he means pure devotional service. Here he's meaning you have to perform pure devotional service. So to get to that platform, then we engage through these processes of, you know, karma, jnana, and dhyana yogas. Right? Does that make sense? Like that. That will purify, that will bring us to pure devotional service. Right? That makes sense? In the purport to Mantra 18, it is stated, Vedic knowledge is transcendental and cannot be understood by mundane educational procedures. Right? So it's not just because you read it, you know it. You have to hear it in the parampara, right? With the proper attitude. One can understand the Vedic mantras only by the grace of the Lord and the spiritual master. Yasya deve para bhaktir yata deve tata gurau. This is the Upanishad. Isn't it? No. S-U. What is that? Shvetasvatara. Okay. If one takes shelter of a bona fide spiritual master, it is to be understood that he has obtained the grace of the Lord. Because the Lord sends the spiritual master. When you're actually interested, he'll send the spiritual master. If you're not interested, why will he waste the spiritual master's time? The Lord appears as the spiritual master for the devotee. Right? As we said before, the devotee on prema says, first you came as the spiritual master, then as the holy name. Right? And now you've come yourself personally. Thus the spiritual master, the Vedic injunctions, and the Lord himself from within all guide the devotee in full strength. In this way, there is no chance for a devotee to fall again into the mire of material illusion. So, yeah, the spiritual master is there, the Vedic injunctions are there. Then we can appreciate the directions of the supersoul, right? Which means intelligence. Now, if one is not inclined to the Vedic literatures and one does not have respect for authority, you got problems. Because basically, supersoul is not going to give any intelligence unless those other two are first accepted. Right? So, and then Vedic knowledge can't be understood, even if you study it very nicely. Right? It won't be understood. It has to be studied in connection with Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. the devotee thus protected all around is sure to reach the ultimate destination of perfection. The entire process is hinted at in this mantra, and Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.17-20 explains it further. Right, so it's hinted. Upanishads give the hint, then you're supposed to take it, contemplate it, try to apply it in your life. So they're just giving the essence. So that's just very nice about the Shruti, the Smriti, is that will give further explanation and practices. Right, that you, that the Shruti doesn't specifically give. Right. Yeah. Hinted. Another point is that the devotee thus protected all around is sure to reach the ultimate destination of perfection. So, how you say, protected all around, because from all sides, from the spiritual master, from the scriptures, and from the Lord in the heart. Right? But otherwise, if not one is not accepting like that, then what's the protection? What's to keep one from doing whatever one wants, and therefore keep staying here? Right? Bhagavatam further explains, hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord is itself an act of piety. The Lord wants everyone to hear and chant His glories because He is the well-wisher of all living entities. By hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord, one becomes cleansed of all undesirable things. And when one's devotion, and then one's devotion becomes fixed upon the Lord. At this stage, the devotee acquires the brahminical qualifications. And effects of the lower modes of nature, passion, ignorance, completely vanish. The devotee becomes fully enlightened by virtue of his devotional service, and thus he comes to know the path of the Lord and the way to obtain Him. As all doubts diminish, he becomes a pure devotee. Right? So we can see also in here is that the detail is there, is that one should would approach the spiritual authority of the Vedic literatures, right? And then here, in describing that, the verses, it's actually going through those stages, Shraddha to Prema, right? But in very nice language, and indicating certain specific elements, right? Because if one acquires brahminical qualification, if he's fixed, he attains brahminical qualification. Why is he fixed? Why is he brahminical? Right? Because there's no passion and ignorance. Right? And passion and ignorance is the cause of anartas. Does that make sense? Therefore, he's fixed. Right? And the effects, they completely vanish. Right? Yeah, he becomes enlightened by the virtue of devotional service. Right? Because then he becomes to appreciate the profundity of devotional service. When he becomes fixed. Because here also that fixed, as we know, means there, and then that becomes even deepens as he gets a taste and attachment. But it can also mean that he becomes fixed because he's come to the transcendental platform. He's on the platform of Baba. And then from there, he gets to know the path of the Lord, right? What is the Lord does and the way to obtain Him. So that can mean from the very beginning. But it can also mean is then one understands what the Lord Himself as a person wants. And those who know how to serve and how to follow in their footsteps to obtain that. Does that make sense? Right? Because the path of the Lord is following the footsteps of the devotees of the Lord who know how to please the Lord. Right? So it has all this is the point is when Prabhupada is talking these things, it has, like the acharyas, the explanation in its kind of general sense and then in its more esoteric. And there's no problem that the two can be together. So they'll explain one, they'll explain the other, and then they give a conclusion, they combine it. So Prabhupada's giving us that conclusion. So when he says everything's in the books, he means it. It's not he's just saying that because he doesn't want you to read anything else. No, he's saying it's all there. Then, by these other, then we can see this. But it's not that, because therefore Vishwanath's book is Bhaktivinoda Thakur's book is superior because by reading that, now I understand what Prabhupada's talking about. No, it's by the grace of what Prabhupada's saying, you're able to relate to what the previous acharyas have said. And therefore, you're able to appreciate that what the present, that Prabhupada said, he's already explained what the acharyas have said. Right? Just in language for us to catch. Right? If you write it like this, nobody gets on a Shraddha to Prema trip. Right? Because no one even catches it. Right? And if you do know it, right? If you're not into it as a trick, because you won't, because the words aren't used. But if you actually understand the principles of it, then you'll see it here. Then you'll see Prabhupada saying the same thing. Right? Does that make sense? So we're noticing here is that what is being said in one scripture, the other one is saying the same thing. Just one is giving more detail in one area, one in the other. Like Nectar Devotion, they don't have to explain the nature of the soul. You know, the Tathasta Shakti, all that. No, they're talking about devotional service. That's explained in the Upanishads. Right? Now, the Upanishads say to take up devotional service. That's not much explained. That is what Nectar Devotion gives. Yes?
Mundane educational procedures basically means memorizing.
Basically means memorizing. Yeah, you could probably say memorizing, so-called analyzing from an objective point of view, which means the technical term, the exact definition of objective research or objective perspective is that subjective perspective of your mentor or the academic community that has effect on your position, social position within it. That would be from what I can see, the full definition of objective, which means totally subjective. It just can't be your subjectiveness. It's everyone else's. Right? Because if you're subjective, the mentor gets upset because it's your subjectiveness, not his. That's all. Because if you're actually objective and say things outside what the others accept, then you'll be rejected. But if you're actually objective, then what's the problem? Yeah. The means of obtaining Brahman is summarized in the Dasa Mool Tattva as follows. Quote, pure devotional service is the living entity's occupation and means. Right? It's what his duty is, what he should be doing, and it's the mean to attain perfection. Right? So that means even after attaining perfection, he'll still be doing devotional service. That's why both are used. Right? Right? Because he could say, only through devotional service can you attain to the love of Godhead. Right? But then, attaining the love of Godhead, then the concept will be, you don't need to follow devotional service. But here he's saying, devotional service is the living entity's occupation and means. Right? So occupation is that's what he has to do. That's his nature. And the results you're looking for, those will come automatically through the devotional service, through the occupation, right? Right? Through occupation you get facilities. No? Like that. Okay. Chapter 4 of Sri Tattva Sutra. Sambandha Prakarana, the relationship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the individual spirit souls. 31. What sutras were we just dealing with? We ended on 30. Oh, but I thought we just did. But didn't we just do the material world also?
We did all the
27, 26. 24. Oh, okay, now I get it. Right. 1 to 10 was the Lord. 11 to 20, that was the soul. And then 21 to 30, that was material energy. Right? So now we'll deal with the. Okay, so Mandapur Karna, as you said, yeah, it means the thing. Relates to the Supreme Lord, the person that is. Okay. Okay, so relationship of the Supreme Personality and the individual souls. So you got the Sambandha Prakarana, but that means the relationship is devotional service. Does that make sense? Because the relationship is based on, it's not saying you are a servant. It's saying what is the cause of the relationship, and that's the service itself. Does that make sense? Because the knowledge of Sambandha is what's used in the application. introduction by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. In order to show the way the living individual spirit souls, who are described in the Chit Prakarana chapter, may obtain the association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Who is perfect, complete, eternal, and full of knowledge and bliss, is the beginning of this, the fourth chapter. The author describes devotional service and the natural and eternal relationship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the individual souls, right? So now it's not by the tattva, here it's a matter of by the application. So when you applied knowledge is abhideya. Results of applied knowledge is prayojana. Right? So it still comes back to its knowledge. That's why in sambandha, then you can define, it defines the knowledge of sambandha, abhideya, and prayojana. Right? It comes out with all those points. So that's how the Gita, the introduction opens, defining the, you know, the Shankarshan element, you know, that was knowledge, the knowledge of Prajumna, the knowledge of Aniruddha, the knowledge of Vasudev, right? That's called Sambandha Jnana, right? Using that, applying that, then you get the Abhideya. But it's still the same knowledge. Sutra 31. Bhakti purnanu rakti pare. Devotional service means unwavering love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So then here we can see devotional service is being applied as that, that level. Right? Does that make sense? Right? Meaning that when it's come to that perfect state, that's unwavering love. That's devotional service. So before that, you're practicing, you know. Summary of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's commentary. The indivisible and unalloyed love for the Supreme Lord, who is superior to the principles of sentient and non-sentience, is called bhakti. The distinction between love and knowledge is that the dry realization is the knowledge and the delicious realization is the love. Right. So, two aspects of realization, dry and delicious. Right? So in other words, we're discussing these things and we might find them to be very tasty. That's because we like things that are dry. Right? But the point is that's what we're using to remove the material entanglement. It's like it's compared to fire and wood or the fuel, right? So if there's wood, then if you apply fire to it, it will be burnt up. Right? So the fire, which is compared to the material consciousness, is burnt up by the fire of knowledge. Right? But what happens to the fire when the wood is finished? Yeah. There's no need of the fire. So there's no need of these technical knowledge in relationship to the, you know, the tattva when one has come to the platform of engaging in devotional service. Right? It doesn't mean that one doesn't understand these things or know these things. Right? It just means that it's not what nourishes the relationship between the Lord and the devotee, right? This sambandha prakarana. Right? How that relationship is cultivated. It doesn't discuss that. Jnana is a form of sentience, but the raga is a form of bliss. Right? So that's why the raga is higher than the jnana. Right? So you have the sentient and non-sentient. The higher than that is bhakti. Thus, this would also answer the question. If you remember, there was a question about... What was it about? I don't remember, it disappeared. It was just suddenly back there. There's a question last week. the week before. So this answers it. Probably being with the glasses, you can't see if it's on the glasses. You need the glasses to see if they're on the glasses.
Well, oh, yeah.
With the glasses on, you can't see if anything's on the glasses.
So you need more glasses.
Yeah, you need another pair of glasses to look at this pair of glasses to see if something's on
those
pair of
glasses. If something's on them, then you can't see to polish the other pair of glasses.
You can't see?
To polish the other pair of glasses if something's on them.
No, then you have to switch.
Yeah.
Jnana is just a form of sentience, but the raga is the form of bliss. Oh, it was about Sandini. Why does Sandini give realization when bhakti or the samvit and ladini combine? Why does Sandini give the realization? Because the ladini is the bliss form of realization, and the sandini is the knowledge form. That was your question or his question? That was your question. Okay. So is that okay? Means in other words, realization is the whole thing. But it's just that these two aspects give the two different sides of it. All right? The sentience form and the bliss form. Right? Because sentience, you know, it means consciousness, existence. Thus the transcendentally blissful jiva is endowed with jnana and bhakti, knowledge and love. Jnana is the characteristic form of the jiva, and bhakti is the inclination of the jiva. Right? Because we're expanded from chit potency, so that's the characteristic form. That's why when the previous chapter was talking about, what was it? Also to love and, yeah, the same, love and knowledge. Right? So it's the same element. The one is the nature, the other is the inclination. Right? So knowledge is the nature and love is the inclination. When the jiva develops his tendency of love indivisibly applied towards the Supreme Lord, that state is called liberation. Right? So one is actually liberated when one applies it to the Supreme Lord. So if one hasn't applied it to the Supreme Lord, then technically one's not liberated. Right? One could also say is that you could also, from that detail, say one's not actually fallen from the spiritual platform. Because actual spiritual platform is being situated in a relationship with the Lord. Right? Because technically you're not, because otherwise how are you here? Mm-hmm. Right? Because liberation, it comes through devotional service, is eternal. So for here, that means that the position wasn't eternal. Right? Does that make sense? So the tathasta position, though not material, is not devotional either. Right? So it's spiritual. So you can say you fell from the spiritual world, but it doesn't mean from the devotional platform. Because then, well, how are some of the pure devotees, they can't fall? Like, no, because it's not. You're falling from the spiritual platform, not from the devotional platform. But you're not on the material platform. Right? Otherwise you fall into what the karmis and jnanis say. Because if you say you fell from Brahman, there is no situation of the soul and Brahman. Right? Those aren't synonymous. Right? So that's a concept of the jnanis. Right? Is that the soul has come from, if it's come from just the platform of Brahman, meaning nothingness. Right, then you end up with, it's a mundane concept. So that means you're saying that the origination of the soul is actually material. You know what I'm saying? So then consciousness is coming out of that. So it doesn't work. Being tatastha means the spiritual. So you fall from the spiritual platform. You can't fall from somewhere else. But you can, from the spiritual platform, you can go one of either way, devotional or material. Right?
On that spiritual platform, the jiva may be Krishna conscious, but not favorably.
Yeah, Krishna conscious, or it means he has knowledge, but the inclination is not cultivated, because the inclination is the love. So that's why he says when the jiva develops this tendency of love indivisibly applied towards the Supreme Lord, that state is called liberation, right? Because we defined before in the Dasamul that real liberation is the attaining. One's position in service to the Lord in love of God, right? That's coming, I think, it's coming in from Madhvacharya, in the Nava Prameyas, like that. That'll probably come up in the Gita study, like that. Basically, it's the same as the Dasamul. There's a few different things that are kind of combined, but he doesn't discuss rasa. He's talking to Mayavadi, so it's like, who's going to discuss rasa with Mayavadi? Right, but Lord Chaitanya Dasamul, so that's got all the aspects of the philosophy. Right? So it's the inclination. So that means it has to be cultivated. His natural position is that of love. His characteristic form is knowledge. But that natural inclination is love. Because love is inherently part of him. But it has to be cultivated, so it's only about God. Otherwise, it can be about the spiritual, but you can also look at the material. That's tatastha. You can look at either. That's tatastha. So when it becomes where it's no longer functioning on the tatastha platform, it's exclusively about the Supreme Lord. Then that love has been fully, then it comes to prema, and then one is in the fire of the internal potency. So then there's no longer the tatastha consideration or the material consideration, right? Then it's only devotion. Does that make sense? No?
Still tatastha.
Huh?
Still tatastha.
Why? What's... Where's the bump in the road? Or around here, the pothole? Well, no, here you get both. The perfection would be to put one of those speed bumps, then have a monster pothole, and then another speed bump.
If you go from here towards the gas, that's kind of happening after the rain season.
Okay. Or, even better than that, because that would slow you down for the pothole, would be first pothole, then speed bump, and immediately pothole. Because then you wouldn't be prepared for either of them. That would be that.
Hope you weren't driving an ambassador.
Yes.
I guess that's always the case.
You do realize ambassadors are illusory.
It is so durable.
It looks like a car.
Yeah. Well, it's durableness, it's Englishness.
Therefore, maybe quite good choice for the show.
It'd be easy to climb out the window when you fell into the pothole, yes. All the sentient objects are attracted by one another, and all of them are naturally attracted by the Supreme Lord. The attraction between the sentient itself is the love. The individual attraction between the sentient objects does not hamper the fullest love towards the Supreme Lord. So the attraction between means the living entities are attracted by one another, and they're all naturally attracted by the Lord, right? So, and that attraction between themselves doesn't get in the way of their attraction to the Lord. They're able to deal with it all at once, right? On the conditioned platform, it tends to get in the way, right? The attachment is too much. On the material platform, it gets in the way of attraction to Krishna. But in the spiritual world, it doesn't get in the way. Because you see the devotee in relationship to Krishna. Right? While here, you see it in the relationship to oneself. Then there's Krishna. Right?
like seeing everything in relationship to service. For example, we are serving in the temple, so seeing everything and everybody in relationship to...
Yes, yes, yes. Sutra 32. Tasyas swarupam phalam upayas chiti. As per the bonded and the liberated conditions of the jivas, bhakti can be divided as the end and the means respectively. So now we're getting the full explanation of the end justifies the means. So in other words, they're the same thing.
Yeah.
So that's where they make the mistake.
Yeah.
They use one method to get a completely different end, but then they never get the end they wanted because the end that they ended up with is the same as, you know, our French representative's not here.
No.
Otherwise,
we could talk freely.
Yeah, no, I'm saying we could have mentioned that Robespierre, he started his method, but as it progressed, he also became implicated in that method.
Mm.
Right, so that's the problem. Bhakti is the unalloyed function of the jiva. The individual spirit souls are of two kinds, right? Because bhakti means knowledge and the activity, right? Combined to please the Lord, right? So that means knowledge and to please the Lord, and knowledge and love. That combination is the unalloyed function of the jiva. That's what it does, right? It's not creating, you know, the environment or this or that. That's being done by Sandini. Like that. Does that make sense? Sandini creates the environment. We then, within that environment, then work to please Krishna. Right? The individual spirit souls are of two kinds. One, the conditioned souls, and two, the liberated souls. And the devotional service they perform is of two kinds. One, phala bhakti, devotional service as a goal, and upaya bhakti, devotional service as a means to obtain a goal. The liberated souls engage in phala bhakti, which is the same as prema bhakti, the perfect stage of love for Lord Krishna. The conditioned souls engage in upaya bhakti, which is the same as sadhana bhakti, and which is the means by which one attains the goal of phala bhakti. Right. So by bhakti, you'll get bhakti. That's why it's saying nothing else generates bhakti. Can't say, oh, I was so intelligent, that's why I came, or I was so pious, that's what I came. No, none of those. Right. It's simply devotional service will get you devotional service. So that's why it's all called devotional service. But then there's a distinction. When we say actually devotional service starts with prema, we mean that follow bhakti. Right? But as a process to get to that, then that's upaya bhakti. So that will be, you know, your sadhana bhakti, and then your bhava, your bhav sadhana. Right, so vaidhi sadhana, you know, like that, and bhav sadhana, and raganuga sadhana, but it's all sadhana. So it's all upaya. By the systematic performance of determinative and causeless upaya bhakti, ultimate devotion will be attained by the devotee in the form of transcendental service of the Supreme Lord. By the systematic performance, that's why it's regulated, because otherwise the mind goes off here and there, and if the mind's let to do whatever it wants to do, the problem is then what we want to do has nothing to do with Krishna, or very minimal. Right.
Determinative means?
Determinative would be determinative. I get by saying of the determinative and causal means determinative means it specifically does this. It determines or establishes. I get the idea like that. Does that work?
Establishes a specific result.
Yes. And then causeless means it also is not caused by something else. So just as phala bhakti its cause is the upaya bhakti, but the upaya bhakti doesn't have a cause. Right? So only the Lord is his mercy. So it's the Lord's compassion that he sends the spiritual master. Right? That then we get the seed of devotion. So it's causeless. It doesn't matter what one's position. The only credit is that one was willing to take it. You know, that you could give the credit to the living being. Because otherwise we go out and expose, I mean, huge amounts of the populace of the world have been exposed to Krishna consciousness. But it's just who takes it. Right? So if they don't take it, the first thing, you keep doing it. And after a while, it builds up. Right? Where then that purity is at heart, and the Lord is then, they therefore actually want to know. And when they want to know, the Lord is pleased by that, and then gives the seed of bhakti. Right? Through the devotees. Then we practice this upaya bhakti, and therefore we get follow bhakti. Right? But the preaching is through the form of upaya bhakti, but it doesn't mean that someone's on that platform. Right? The Uttama Bhakta who comes to the Madhyama platform, he's still practicing on Phala Bhakti. Right? But he's giving the form of the Upaya Bhakti. Though technically they're the same. Right? There's no difference. You know what I'm saying? It's not that here we take the ghee and when it's hot, then, you know, I mean, of course, put it in a pot and then put in some spices and when they turn the proper color, then throw in your vegetables. It's not the Mother Yashoda's not doing the same thing. Right? But the difference is for her it is the goal, right, to please Krishna. While for us it's to obtain that goal. Right? That's why they're rag atmika and we are rag anuga. Right? Does that make sense? Somehow or another I just want to stop to make sure that it's not used, turned around on me here. Because the point is this, even in the Upaya Bhakti, you're going to have Rag Anuga and Rag Atmika. Right? Because the Atma, or the life of that, because ultimately it's the devotee is the life or the ashray of that particular devotion to Krishna. Right, so parental ras, the one who actually has it, is Mother Yashoda. Right, everybody else is following her. It's not that they all have it, and you know, like no, she has it. They follow her. Does that make sense? Like that. So technically, one is always rag anuga, following the footsteps of the devotee with rag. Right, but if you're distinguishing between Raganuga meaning that it's sadhana here, you know, upaya bhakti, as opposed to rag anuga, you know, I mean rag atmika. Like you can use it like that, but our generally way we use it is one is always raganuga, right? If we're always rupanuga. Why won't we be? You know, their rag is what we're anuging, right? Right. And then the leaders of that means Mother Yashoda, you know, Sudam, Sridam, Subal, that they have their specific points, right? And the gopis, that they're all following Radharani in devotion. She's actually the devotee. Rupa Goswami makes that point. There's actually only one devotee in the whole cosmic creation. That's Radharani. She's the devotee. Everyone else is her servant. So technically everybody else is that. But she has a devotion, so everyone's following her devotion. But as far as the particular flavor or taste of devotion, then you'll have Radharani for the conjugal ras, Mother Yashoda for the parental ras, these other, you know, cowherd boys and like this. Does that make sense?
Is there a tapa-rasa distinction there?
Meaning?
That she is the actual devotee of
Yeah, that you could say is tattva, but it's explained, yeah, like that. And then the other is the, but even the other is tattva explaining who's who, like that. But it's just a matter of that it's always coming from, you know. And then there we'll be following Rupa Goswami, right? And then that's by the previous acharyas, we're following Srila Prabhupada, right? And we're doing that under our spiritual master. Right? So we're always some variety of Anuga. Right, you know, rag Anuga, 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 like that kind of thing. It is said, ghee equals long life. Logic. This means that by eating foods cooked in ghee, one attains a long life. Right? There's your explanation, your reason. Right? Because ghee equals long life. Okay, cool. How does that, what's that got to do with it? No, because you mean eating foods cooked in ghee, one attains long life. So ghee equals long life. So eating the foods cooked in ghee, that's your B. Right? As ghee and long life are equated, in the same way sadhana bhakti is called devotional service, because it leads to the final goal, the attainment of prema bhakti. Right? Does that make sense? Right? So you're cooking in ghee, then, and eating, then that's there, because ghee and long life go together. Does that make sense? It is said. In Bhagavad Gita 9:14, the Supreme Personality of Godhead explains, always chanting my glories, endeavoring with great determination, and bowing down before me, these great souls perpetually worship me with devotion. In this way, chanting japa, offering obeisances, and other activities of sadhana bhakti are described. In Bhagavad Gita 18:52-55, the Supreme Personality of Godhead again explains, one who lives in a secluded place, who eats little, and who controls the body and the tongue, and is always in trance, is detached, who is without false ego, false strength, false pride, lust, anger, and who does not accept material things. Such a person is certainly elevated to the position of self-realization. One who is thus transcendently situated at once realizes the Supreme Brahman. He never laments nor desires to have anything. He is equally disposed to every living entity. In that state, he attains pure devotional service unto me. Right, so that's the state. And then devotional service is that move. Right. So in other words, the knowledge is that's his situation. He's situated. Right? Like that. Then that's where he develops that love, that affection. One can understand the Supreme Personality as he is only by devotional service. And when one is in full consciousness of the Supreme Lord by such devotion, he can enter into the kingdom of God. So one can be fully conscious, but without devotion. Right? Because then he can enter into the kingdom of God. Because entering into the kingdom of God means you end up staying there. Right?
It's not you kick you out again.
Yeah, it's not that you show up there, you know, on your horse with all your chain mail and some guy comes out with no chain mail and a curved sword and lops your head off. So that's not what's meant by entering the kingdom of God, right? You're able to stay there. Right? So full consciousness. So the demons, they come into Vrindavan, but they actually don't enter the kingdom of God. They're just moving on that covering of Praudamaya, right? Because they see the Lord's energy not connected to God, so therefore she manifests the forms to them through the material atoms. Well, for those who are living in the kingdom of God, then everything is manifest through the internal potency. So, in the Narada Pancharatra, in the midst of a description of unwavering devotional service, Lord Sadashiva explains, because Narada Pancharatra is Lord Shiva, Sadashiva, is explaining the process of deity worship to Narada Muni. Right? Means the book that's documented. It's already been explained to Brahma in five nights. So therefore it's Pancharatra. So that knowledge is then now being explained by Sadashiva to Narada Muni. That's where it's documented. Just like Vyasadeva explained the Bhagavatam to Sukadeva Goswami. But it wasn't. It was published, but published simply meant it was orally recited, right? But after him reciting it to Parikit Maharaj, and then that being by Suta Goswami to the sages at Naimisharanya, then Vyasadeva documented it. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. So therefore, it's still the Narada Panchami, because by then the discussions had filled out. Means it was already complete when it was Vyasadeva was complete. It was complete for Sukadeva. Right? Vyasa heard from Narada, Narada from Brahma. So it's already fine. But it becomes good for us because Kali Yuga means things are documented. So that which is complete for our understanding and usage, then that's what's written. So Lord Shiva explains, these auspicious, blissful, and unselfish actions bring direct service to Lord Hari. Okay. So they bring auspicious, blissful, and unselfish. Right? That brings direct service to Lord Hari. Now in its lower, it is you're trying to get to obtain the goal. Right? So you're doing the same thing. It'll bring you to the direct service to Lord Hari. It'll bring you to the prem. But within the phala bhakti, that by these devotional activities, then the Lord personally will interact with you. Right? Because you're doing them for Him. So you see, as it indicates both levels. Right? In the next sutra, the author describes the truth that pure devotional service is directed to the Supreme Personality of Godhead alone. Because others will say, I'm devotional, I'm doing bhakti for my country or family or, you know, like that, my money. Sorry? Poll talk. You understand?
Neither nor.
Huh?
Neither nor.
Sutra 33. Fula bhakter nanyad angam ekatvat svata siddhatvat cha. The ultimate bhakti is devoid of any other limbs because of its exclusively unalloyed and absolute character. Right? So another thing of the unalloyed means not mixed. Not mixed means there are no other branches. It's just, it is complete in itself. Summary of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's commentary. Phala bhakti has no other divisions or limbs. Unalloyed love alone is its nature. Phala bhakti has no separate subdivisions because it has a single undivided nature. And because consisting of activities of passionate love for the Lord, it is naturally perfect. In this way, it is not like sadhana bhakti. In sadhana bhakti, you have all that 64 angas like that. So you have these things which you engage. But it's that you're using these to express your devotion, right? Now, this is pole language. You don't want to know what they're talking about. And it gets them fired up and they lift all these big things. And the funny thing, all over India, they all do the same thing. Same chant, same stuff. Sometimes they goof on somebody. We had this one guy, Troy Dali, had a very big nose. So they used to just, they do this and then just goof on him. You know, talking about him and what he would do and this and that and so many things.
Kamyakata.
No, this is pure unalloyed Grami Kata. That's not. But it gets the work done. Knowledge is the very form of the liberated soul, right? So he doesn't need knowledge to get something. Do we understand the difference here? You're expressing the love, so there's no difference. It's not that it's an anga of it. There's a non-difference between mother just showed his love for Krishna and cooking for Krishna. Right? Because she loves Krishna, so she's cooking. She's expressing it through loving. But we'll take cooking as a sadhana that while cooking, we will practice doing it for Krishna.
And then we will have cooked, and then it will...
Yeah, well, that is offered, but even at the time, we're thinking about Krishna. Right? We're thinking about Krishna. We're trying to do these things. But the point is whether we're thinking of Krishna or not, we may still be cooking. Right? There's no question, there's a moment she's not thinking of Krishna, so there's a non-difference. It looks the same, but that's why these are brought out. There is a difference. Otherwise, we get too caught up in that, you know, I'm engaging all my different material elements in Krishna's service, so it's just as good as that. You know what I'm saying? No. But even there, even if it is pure devotional service, now he's this pure, the ultimate bhakti, or pure unalloyed devotional service. So it doesn't have that element of sadhana. It's just explaining the nectar of expressing one's devotion to the Lord. Yes? No? Maybe? Very good. Okay. Knowledge is the very form of the liberated soul, and the soul's inclination is the love-natured bhakti, right? The form of the soul is knowledge, but the inclination is bhakti, love. Therefore, jnana cannot be part of bhakti. Right? The form isn't the bhakti, right? You know what I'm saying? Just like what you're cooking is not the bhakti. It's the medium for. So the knowledge, which is the situation, that's not the bhakti. The love is a different thing. Vairagya means absence of material attachments. But since there's no love included, it cannot be part of the love-natured bhakti. Right? That's why jnana and vairagya, they naturally come, because that's, as the soul gets purified, his own nature becomes manifest. But it's only bhakti that can do that in the proper way. Right? Otherwise, it's a very slow process. So by bhakti, then this knowledge and detachment come automatically, because it's the inherent nature of the soul. But that is only actually real knowledge and real detachment when it's connected to bhakti. So bhakti generates these secondary elements, but it's not that it's dependent upon or that they are angas of it. Does this make any sense? Thus the conclusion is that jnana and vairagya are necessary associates of bhakti, but they are not parts of bhakti, right? Because they're how you're going to express it. Right? Means, right? That makes sense. Mother Jashoda, does she have knowledge of her relationship with Krishna? Right? Simple. Krishna is her son. Right? Does that make sense? You know, she's the mom, he's the son. Right? And when she's cooking, is she thinking that this will be really nice to eat later on? Or no, she's just cooking for Krishna. So vairag. So it's it is a necessary associates, right? But it's not part. The bhakti is the emotion, the love. These are, knowledge creates the environment, the dealing, the attitude, but not the affection. Right? Does that make sense? That's why knowledge is in the activity and knowledge is in the situation, but it's not part of the goal. Right? In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, right? But as pointed out before, as said before, eating cooked foods in ghee, one attains long life, because ghee and long life are connected. So the food becomes the medium through which the ghee and the body are connected. Does that make sense? Right? So the same way sadhana bhakti is called devotional service, because it leads to the final goal, the attainment of prema bhakti. So you get the long life because it's the medium through which you can connect the two. But it's still separate. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, 1.2.2.4.6 and 1.2.2.4.8 through 2.4.9, Srila Rupa Goswami explains. Some scholars argue that simply by following the principles of varna and ashram, one can gradually rise to the perfections reached by practicing devotional service. But this argument is not accepted by the great authorities, right? Because they don't equate. It won't bring, only bhakti will bring bhakti. But it's a cultural associate, right? Like that. Does that mean class is over?
Sati's done.
Huh?
Sati's done.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think this will be a bigger discussion, so we'll start with this tomorrow. Okay.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Prabhupada ki.